Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
All right, KFC Radio, episode 168, I believe. This episode is brought to you by Casper. The weather is warming up. I think it's like 75 degrees here in New York today. So whenever whenever the weather gets a little hotter, and then you got to do a little spring cleaning, you spruce up your apartment, you spruce up basically everything in your life, no better time than now to get yourself a Casper mattress. You'll sleep better than ever. You'll be more comfortable than ever because the mattresses that Casper creates are engineered with two high-tech foams for supportive comfort that guarantees a great night's sleep. It's one of the best inventions of 2015. They also have new sheets and pillows, so you could basically overhaul your entire sleeping life, which, let's be honest, fellas, you need to do that. I remember when I was a young man, never washed my sheets, never changed the bedding. That shit gets gross, man. It's gross. You're sleeping in it, you're sweating in it, you're having sex in it, you're farting in it. You need a new bed. You need a Casper mattress. So head over to Casper.com and use the code KFC to get $50 towards the purchase of your next mattress. They will ship it to you for free. You can sleep on it for 100 nights, and if you don't like it, you can return it for free as well. That's Casper.com, promo code KFC. Terms and conditions apply. We start off today, episode 168, with a big announcement. KFC Radio Live, June 9th, officially booked at Caroline's in Manhattan.
I think such a big announcement. Feidelberg and I didn't even know it was booked.
I was going to tell you guys, but I figured I wanted the genuine real reaction. We're all good for June 9th, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I did check with you guys ahead of time.
Find my New York apartment that weekend, too, I think.
Look at you. You come, you'll whine.
I'm going to do that a different weekend.
You'll entertain the masses, and then you'll find out where you're going to live. It's
That's going to be a real, real moment. Fuck.
You're basically a local starting June 9th, Dan.
Oh,
you're
God.
You're a New Yorker.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's like episode 170, like 4 or something will be that June 9th. Caroline's. I don't have any other info. I literally just got the email right before we started this episode. So I'll have a link for tickets and all that other nonsense coming up. But mark it down on your calendars now. Save the date. KFC Radio Live. We'll call it like Summer 16. How about that, Fights? You like it? We'll do it. We're kicking off Summer 16 with the KFC Radio gang.
We should call it Coachella with a K.
Okay. Done. I like that. Coachella.
Coachella with a K?
Yeah, for KFC Radio. We'll just call it Coachella.
I like Couchella.
Couchella works too.
Couchella with a K?
Maybe we can get like a couch on stage at Caroline's and do it on a couch.
Done. We just workshop that. Couchella with a K.
Did we just create like a whole new
live Couchella?
I think we just created a whole new series of live podcasts called Couchella.
I love it.
Awesome.
This is great. So everybody come on out to Couchella. Couchella 1. And should be a good time. And this is going to be a real show. Caroline's, if you're not familiar with the city, is like a real comedy club. It holds like, I think regularly 300 people. It can open up to hold like 500. So it's not going to be a drunken bar disaster like KFC Radio 100 was at Saloon, which was awesome in its own right. But I think some people actually wanted to hear a podcast. We will be able to do that now. It's going to have video. I think we can incorporate all sorts of shit in it. Couchella should be lit, as the children say these days.
I gotta start dieting now.
Oh man, I thought of, it was actually quote unquote dieting, and then I had a bag of Kit Kats today. It's 12:40. I've ever had a bag of Kit Kats, so that's
I was actually just thinking I've had like a quarter of a glass of water. That's all I've consumed today.
John, I'm dieting just so that we can like eat as much candy as we want on the Indy 500 trip. That's literally the only reason I'm dieting. I can just gain it all back.
This weekend?
No, it's
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend, but we're taking the RV. I think we're going to probably leave like as early as Monday, and it's going to be a whole week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're doing the grit tour.
Wait a minute.
We're like going like Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, like
hold the phone.
Amish shit. It's the grit tour.
You guys are trying.
The Amish are like they're as gritty as it gets. They're the definition of
West
grit.
I think we might go to West Spa. It's the grit tour, then Indy 500.
The fact that you guys are even considering dieting now with that on the horizon is ridiculous.
That's the whole point.
No, listen, dude, you might as well just dive headfirst into the pool with no water.
You're wrong. It's the diet. It's the, like, try to lose a quick 5 pounds so that the first 2 days of this trip we can eat like assholes and not feel awful. Obviously, halfway through, I'm going to be like, I'll gain 10 pounds and feel like an asshole. But it's the first couple, like, stops at Chili's where I can just go crazy. And it's tough to eat a lot when you're already fat and then, like, try to do stuff. You know what I mean? Just adding fat to fat. I'm trying to basically take away a little bit of fat so I can replace it and get back to just regular fat.
By the way, I'm hammering the over on gaining 10 pounds. This week is going to be like 15 plus. Fights, you seem...
a bad one right before summer, too.
Yeah, I guess it's not good timing for your boy.
When we first decided on it, I was immediately happy because I was like, all right, Fugawi diet's out the window because it's the same weekend as Fugawi. So I was like, good, I don't have to diet for that. I'm going to fucking Indianapolis. The diet is not necessary. So I'm kind of in this stage where I'm not doing what Dan does because I just lost 20 pounds on the spin diet.
So you're like, so you're playing with house money right now.
Yeah, I'm in a free zone. So I think I'm just going to – that 20 pounds is going to carry me to that week.
And then you'll just get back to neutral. You'll be back to where you were before the whole spin class thing.
Which isn't quite neutral. It's close to morbidly obese. But, yeah.
Does it bother you that you're basically going to completely wipe out what was like several months of very, very hard work and dedication? You're going to wipe that out in a matter of like 4 or 5 days.
Kevin, if you think this is the first time I've wasted an opportunity, you're out of your fucking mind. So, no, this is just a day in the life for me. Like, yeah, you did good work. You worked hard for 2 months. Now you'd be a piece of shit for 10 months.
Yeah, man, you will never experience that more than if you ever get married. You do the wedding diet because you're never more motivated than to look better at your wedding because you spend so much fucking money on it that you're like, if I look like a piece of shit at this thing, it's going to suck. So you'll actually really be committed to the diet. And then you say to yourself, like, you know what? I'm going to, like, get to the gym now. I'm going to get ripped because, like, I've lost all the fat. I'm going to be fucking healthy. And then you're done.
I was going to say I'm currently, like, in a diet because I have this thing where when I'm laying in bed at night, my right side really hurts, like my chest and stuff. But that's not your heart.
That's true. That's probably your lungs. It's probably something wrong with your lungs.
What's going on, but it's not – if it creeps over to the left side, I'm probably going to check it out. But right now it's just like my chest, my right side and arm like freezes up every night.
Fights again. I had one of last night or yesterday evening, I had my – since the diet, I had my first sneeze and your arms go numb again where it was
– Yeah, it just cripples you. Yeah.
Lewis didn't really know what was happening. I was in my apartment. And I sneezed, and I just, like, kind of, like, laid there, and I was just like, kind of just, like, making a noise to distract you from the pain. And Lou was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? I said, man, I just sneezed. What do you think I'm doing? I'm in a lot of pain. My arms are numb. I have shooting pains going up and down them in the elbows.
It feels like my chest is in a vice. Yeah, that's sneezing. Sneezing is a violent sport.
Lou has to know who he's living with now. Like, he can't be surprised by these things anymore. Well, if Feitelberg sneezes and moans in agony, par for the course, man.
Dude, Lewis had a heart attack. So, like, let's chill out with Lewis, like, judging people for sneezing, okay?
Don't throw stones, bro.
The sneezing thing, I tweeted that last night. I feel like I actually might need to do a blog about it because I feel like a lot of people don't know it's a thing. And then we mentioned it. We had a lot of people come out of the woodwork when we talked about it on the rundown. This is probably a few months ago. And then I tweeted it last night, and a lot of people thanked me for bringing it to the forefront, this horrible epidemic where – out of shape people sneeze and almost die. Well, I had a ton of people saying, I didn't know that was a thing. I thought I was the only one. People are shamed and they're afraid to admit that they're so out of shape. It's a really distressing situation when you sneeze. And I want people to know it's okay to say it happens.
Let's name this. What can we call it? Like sneezing vice syndrome, SVS?
You got to get the arms. The arms are really what get me. The arms, it's just shooting pains up and down the arms.
Sneezing, shooting pain. Sneezing, arm, shooting pain syndrome. SASHP. SASHP. But, yo, you got to realize that people like us, more specifically me than you guys, you know, Big Cat's been playing hoops a little bit. Feidelberg's been doing spin. I'm pretty much, my muscles and my whole body are just like stationary at all times. So a sneeze is like muscles violently contracting really, really fast that are usually used to just like sitting there. I'm like Feidelberg, you've said it before, I'm like veal. I'm just sitting there like getting soft. When I sneeze, my whole body's like, whoa, we have not flexed those muscles in about 5 years. So let's calm down with that. So
that's, it's like people who are surprised you pull a muscle when you come. Yeah, man, that fucking leg is not used to twitching like that. It's not used to locking up in the quad. That's a whole new experience.
Let's get into these voicemails. They're brought to you by BetDSI.com. Let's say, for instance, maybe you're at a lame Kentucky Derby party where there's no television on, and then TVG goes down, and you're struggling to put a bet in. Go to BetDSI.com, pop it up on your phone, log in, can make bets from anywhere, and you can place bets on anything. We just had the Triple Crown. We got the Olympics coming up in the summer. USA Soccer, the America's Cup if you're down with the sailing gambling. Obviously, ooh, baseball and all the other major sports. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan trying to make some cash, and BetDSI.com can make it happen for you. They are an A-plus rated on most sportsbook review sites. They have great service and great odds. You can bet on the election, reality TV shows, anything. It's quick, mobile access works great, and it's very easy to use. And right now, if you use the promo code BARSTOOL10, that's BARSTOOL10, you will get a $10 free play on any of the current sporting events or gambling options at BetDSI. So once again, check it out. It's BetDSI.com. Fights, I want to actually begin before we get to the voicemails. You were best man in a wedding this past weekend, which I'm only putting it together now, putting two and two together. You wrote a blog being like, you should never fucking get married on this weekend for a wedding that you were the best man in. How did that go over?
It went over fine. Okay. I mean, it's like my best friend, so
it's not him I'm worried about, you idiot. I don't give a fuck about the groom. How'd it go over with the bride?
Dude, I don't think she even knew. I mean, how about that went over fine. But where I really fucked up, I guess a best man probably shouldn't do like a this wedding stupid blog post, but I had asked for the day off that Friday like a while before, and then because we had to do like the rehearsal mass and things like that.
Right.
And then Dave disappeared that Friday, so I had to run the blog the whole day and skip the rehearsal mass.
Nice.
That one was, I think that was a bigger my bad than writing a blog post.
I can understand where you're coming from because you like Portnoy will like hold this over your head for the next like 10 years. But next time you got to just be like, fuck you, Dave, I'm out. I don't know. Like one of the other 50 bloggers on the site can put up content.
Positive vibes only, Kevin.
PVO. That's right, PVO. So I had a voicemail a couple weeks ago asking for advice on best man speeches. We were supposed to do it before going into your wedding. But obviously you did it already. How'd it go? First one ever. First time ever, right?
How many laughs did you get?
I got a lot of laughs.
All right.
I was the fourth person to speak. It was short.
God, that's tough. How long was it?
It was short, like 3 minutes maybe.
That's pretty long in my book.
That's fantastic, John.
I would say I would even take the under if you're planning on writing a speech. I would go lower than that, but it's not. It's definitely not too long.
It might have been under. I kind of blacked out doing it. I was the fourth person to speak.
Wait, you were blacked out, like drunk blacked out?
No, because we did the speech before dinner.
Oh, okay, because I was like, this is classic, like, John thinks he killed it, and everyone's like,
no, I was actually, like, really, I was probably one of the more sober people there, because, right, so I drove to, I drove back from the reception was in Andover, and the wedding was in Andover, reception was in Boston, so I drove back I drove me and my date back to the reception. So I only had one cider in the car while driving. And then we got to the reception and the groom immediately spilled a drink on his shirt. So I went into best man mode and went down to Newbury Street in Boston.
Look
and got
at you.
A new like white button down. So I missed pretty much all of like the reception, like cocktail hour because I was doing that.
Yo, little tip for you guys out there. I always have two shirts. Always have two shirts in case that happens.
That's what the lady told me.
Sweaters?
The lady at Brooks Brothers told me that because she was like, she was mad at me because I was demanding that she go and press the shirts. I'm not bringing the groom a fucking shirt pressed off the rack with all the boxer folds. And she said, this is why we tell grooms to bring that. I was like, who the fuck tells grooms that? I hadn't heard that.
They do, bro. They do.
But so by the time I got back, it was almost over and it was almost time for dinner. And I had like two beers. I had a cider and two beers beforehand, which it was perfect because I if I stayed, I would have drank. And I'm an alcoholic and I can't be around drinking without participating. And,
so you go, so it's what, the maid of honor, the parents speak, and then you?
It was, it was the bride, the father of the bride, the father of the groom, and then the maid of the – well, here's what the kicker was, right? So we sat down at dinner. I had just met the maid of honor beforehand since I didn't go to the rehearsal dinner. it was – first of all, it was a gay guy. And the funniest thing was that the wedding planner didn't really know what to call him. I thought the man of honor was a thing. So she just kept calling him the best fella, which I thought was fucking – hilarious. Like, so like condescending and like just old bitchy Catholic lady shit.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so funny. But when we sat down at dinner, but we had like 5 minutes before the speeches started, and he was telling stories and he was talking, and just a little bit I talked to him beforehand, he was electric. He had me on pins and needles. I was so entertained by this guy, and I was like, fuck, he is going to kick my ass in the speech. But he got there. He did a good job, too. He had cards, though. I memorized mine.
That's lame.
Yeah, you win.
You got to memorize it.
And I was so nervous beforehand, and I kind of looked over my date, and I was like, I want to fucking run away. I want to run away so bad. And she was so supportive. She was like, you're such a fucking pussy. You do this shit every day.
I was going to say, man. But you know what? Like, that's what people think. Like, oh, the blogger, the podcaster, he'll be hilarious. It's different to sit on a fucking mic in front of a computer with three of your buddies than to stand up in front of, like, family members and all that sort of shit. It's definitely not the same.
Well, it's also the expectation. It's like we always talk about it when we meet stoolies out, and I love meeting stoolies out, but I think they want me to, like, say something, like, the funniest thing in the world. And I'm just like, ah.
Normal what's up, dude, man? Normal guy over here. Yeah. So you were getting some – you got laugh out loud moments though, because that's really all it's about. Once that happens, you relax a little bit.
When I got up there, because there was like a little area by like a fireplace where people were speaking, so I went up there and I kind of just – it wasn't even like something I'd written. It was kind of just like a throwaway thing. I was like, I understand that I'm the last person before dinner, so if someone comes up here and stabs me, no hard feelings. And it was just like a thing I mumbled and people lost it.
And well, that's kind of the key for those speeches is, like, jokes that really, like, would kill on a podcast or on the blog are not really best man speech jokes. Sometimes it's a corny joke about, like, everybody wants to eat dinner, huh? That's really the key to those speeches. You got to make one or two jokes that's, like, your buddies would actually genuinely laugh at. But that's really it. The rest is, like, jokes for Aunt Sally and, like, Grandma over there. And where you're, like,
food jokes are huge.
Kills.
I loved them.
Kills. Yeah, absolutely. Stick to that.
I was like, you're right. I am fucking hungry. I wish you would hurry this up. And then it was – and once you get that first laugh, it's just like, okay, this is easy.
That's why
– back in the group.
The most – like the best advice I can give is like keep it short. Do not say anything offensive. As funny as you think it is, don't make any offensive jokes. And you're – like focus on the very first joke, the very first intro, because if that goes well, you're good. If that's crickets, the whole rest of the speech is the people at the table going – Oh my God, I can't. Yep. They're chugging their drinks and shit.
I remember the first one I heard, I was probably, I don't know, 15 or so at my uncle's wedding. And the maid of honor, not the best fellow, the real maid of honor, she got up there and she was telling these stories about how my uncle's new wife was passed out in a, like, they've met when she was passed out in a barn with her pants off with a tin of Copenhagen. And I was like, you're just telling a rape story right now, I think. That's
I,
that
I was
is
at one,
not – this is not the place for that.
Last summer I was at one where the brother of the groom was talking about how the groom used to get drunk and piss his pants in the bed and how he, like, had a fist fight with his father because he was drunk once as, like, a teenager. It was some special shit. Avoid that stuff at all costs.
The only person I even showed it my speech to was my dad, and he was just like, "Yeah, that's perfect. You don't. I can't even imagine sitting there and writing those
like
kind of
dumb
jokes.
Shit." Yeah, it's that you have to have an incredible lack of self awareness and social skills to give a speech like that, to even think that's going to be funny. But this actually segues perfectly somehow. I love these serendipity moments on KFC Radio where it's like, how did Veidelberg just bring up something that's in a voicemail? But we got a member of the wedding party switching genders.
What's up, guys? It's Mike from down in D.C. So I just got engaged over the weekend, and obviously we're just doing some talk and people asking if he's going to be in the wedding party, all that nonsense. And one of her best friends is a guy, and he's going to be on her side of the line, which is no problem, really. However, within the last 6 months, he came out and told us that he's transgender. So more than likely, a year, year and a half, whatever from now, he's going to end up probably dressed up as a female in the wedding party, and I'm sure all of my old relatives and whoever in the family is going to be, you know, turned into a bunch of crazy Kurt Schillings. So I just wasn't sure how you guys would handle that situation. So let me know what you think. Thanks.
Crazy Kurt Schillings is a great line. Obviously, Caitlyn Jenner making waves, talking about going back to being Bruce. Let's touch on that first. Fights, I know you've kind of been blogging about her getting naked, and you've been on the Caitlyn Jenner train. She's just scrapping the whole thing. Just the ultimate.
She did. I don't know if you saw. She did deny that.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
she did deny it, which kind of kills the story because it is such a fucking funny story.
I wonder, though.
But I saw on TMZ, like, just before we got going, that she said those are all BS.
We'll see. I feel like that's one of those things you almost have to deny when it starts coming out because that would be the ultimate buyer's remorse trying to go back on that. As far as this guy's situation, I don't think you even, like, address this. I don't even think it's a big deal. I think it's almost better for, like, if you're worried about, like, your old relatives, I think it's better that he'll be a woman and be on that side. I feel like if there's a guy in the bridesmaids line, your grandma would be more inclined to be like, "What the fuck's going on here?"
Hey, Aunt, so I'm sorry. Can you? I'm like an old person with these things.
He's a dude right now. He's a dude, but he's gonna be.
It's already weird.
Right. It's already weird.
Dude is in the bride's wedding party.
He's a best fella, John.
Yeah, he's a best fella.
He's the best fella.
And then he's going to transition. So by the time they have the wedding, he will be a chick. So I think that makes it easier. It makes it less weird if you look like a chick and you're a bridesmaid.
She has to be hot.
Yeah, that's true. Like if it's a bad tray.
Yes. This all comes down to the simple fact that you can't look at your wedding pictures and be like, "That's a dude," as a chick on the bridesmaid's side. Like, you can't have that take away from the bride. And this is one of those situations where people will say, like, "Oh, this is not, you're not being PC. Like, let her be." It's the bride's day. You can't take away from the bride's day. So you need to be hot and really pull off the girl thing. Here's my one piece of advice. If you are nervous at all about this situation, this is going to sound really mean. You need to find, like, a really, really fat chick to, like, offset the whole thing and put her in, like, the bridesmaid dress. Maybe even hire her. Could you hire, like, a plus-size model?
Hire a fat chick to take
the Kevin
heat.
Hart. Kevin Hart would be
the wedding.
You know
what I mean? When you go to a wedding and it's, like, a row of, like, smokes all in the same dress because they're all wearing the same dress, so they get compared exactly the same. You're like, who looks hotter in this dress? And then there's maybe someone who's not so in great shape, and it draws the eye. So that maybe it's like an old magic trick. You're like, you take the attention away from the transgender person by putting a really fat chick on there. I think I saw that and was really, really mean all at the same time.
Big Cat's official advice for a guy with a tranny in his wife's wedding party, hire a fat chick to also be in the wedding party.
And squeeze her into the dress that all the other hot chicks are wearing.
John, you just had some experience with a best fella. I think a best fella probably draws more eyes, like I said. What do you think here? Do you even address it? I mean, like as the groom, aside from hiring a fat girl, I don't really think you have any recourse here.
No, I think you have to. I think you have to uninvite her, because, like Dan said, yeah. Look, listen, we're progressing as a society. we're not progressing that fast. We're not progressing to transgenders in the bridal party because it exactly like Dan said, it's exactly what I was thinking. She's going to steal the day. Like, my mom can't wear anything but beige and stand in the corner to a mm-hmm. wedding. You can't have it. It'll eat at the bride for that she's not the star of her day, that all the whispers aren't about how beautiful she is. It's about how, hey, is that a guy or a girl up there? What is that one?
Not to mention that guy, girl, if she's transitioning right now, your wedding will be one of the very first times she's the belle of the ball out there with her
long hair
and her tits and her high heels. Exactly. So she's not going to be like, oh, I'm going to just be understated.
Right.
Yes. She's going to be like, I'm going to be the fucking hottest chick here. That ain't right. I don't care if you're transitioning or not. If you're not the bride.
Here's another solution that might be a little bit of a softer touch from me. Just don't have wedding parties for this.
Oh. Yo, that in general is a great piece of advice. Though, it's nice to have some people up there, but you just have a best man and a maid of honor.
Right, just get your brother or your sister or whatever. Just have it be that. No mm-hmm. one's feelings get hurt. You don't have to deal with this issue. You don't have to make – and what we've said this before, being in a wedding party sucks.
Sucks. And we got to rent the tuxes. You take pictures. Yeah. The girls have to buy their dresses, which are dresses they'd never, ever wear again. It's a disaster for everyone involved. And everyone says it. Everyone's like, this fucking sucks. Then they have a wedding, and they do the same thing.
Right. So just have no wedding party. Bingo, bango. I think that's probably a better solution than the hiring the fat person to take away from the transgender person.
I want to make something clear here so I don't come off as a transphobe. I'm super pro trans people. I'm so bad with these words.
I was gonna say you're super pro what? You don't even know what to say.
It's okay. As long as you say you're working on it, you can say whatever you want.
I'm working on learning all the lingo. But like, this has to be your wedding gift to your wife. And you just have to wear it. You have to say you can't come to the wedding. I'm sorry. You gotta do the whole thing because it's gonna piss her off.
Yo, you know what will piss your wife off more? When some tranny is on Facebook talking about how she was uninvited from a wedding and it goes viral, okay? And then you and your wife and your family are the bigot family.
You can't uninvite.
Then maybe uninvite everybody. Maybe just get rid of the wedding party.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe have her stand on the very end and then she just gets cut out of all the pictures.
You just got to explain. It's the bride's day. It's her day. We can't have you out here.
We gave this guy a lot of good options, by the way.
Yeah,
we did.
Just uninvite her, go viral as being a transphobe, hire an obese person who has nothing to do with the wedding party to take away the eye, or just do no. We just gave you three great options.
Dan, that's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, just a better, that's just a business idea in general. It doesn't have to deal with trans people. A bride who's not that good looking.
Yes.
There's nothing worse than a bride who's not good looking with smoke bridesmaids. So you just have the fat girl, you hire a fat girl to stand next to her, and she looks better.
And this is, it's just what you're describing is the plot of The Wedding Ringer, a classic Kevin Hart film. And it's on.
That's one that I will not be accused of ripping off because I tell you, I did not see that movie.
I believe it's on Stars or HBO almost all day. He's a best man for hire. For loser guys.
We're doing the reverse, which I think is even more genius.
Yeah, I think
what we got is a sequel here.
Ugly mongoloids. Or like if the husband is short, just hire a bunch of fucking guys shorter than him. Like Tom Cruise. It's like you just hire a bunch of midgets to stand in your wedding party and you look like you're the tallest guy in the world for one day.
We're doing Duffs for Hire, which is another great movie, by the way, The Duff. Just designated ugly fat friends for all of the bride and groom. Whatever, yeah, fat, ugly, short, whatever it may be, we'll fix it by standing next to you. By being uglier than you.
I was going to say this could be a sequel, but Hollywood just makes the same movies and doesn't even acknowledge that movie already happened now. It's not even like redos. It's just like, remember when Justin Timberlake and Ashton Kutcher both did that same movie about Friends with Benefits?
Those came out at the same exact time, too.
The same exact time. Let's just make a movie again.
Yeah, aren't there like four Steve Jobs movies that all came out at the same time?
And like one is, one's winning Academy Awards. The other one nobody even fucking watched. That's the worst part of all. I was Ashton Kutcher again, right? Guy's getting screwed.
I was Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher starred in both of the films that no one watched. It was it was Justin Timberlake and
Michael Fassbender. Yeah. We have one more trans question here since we're so eloquent with it. We'll keep it going.
Multiple.
Yo, what up, we're just, like, fumbling around.
Got a weird one for you this week. So a couple days ago, my buddies and I were looking through Instagram and found out that a girl we went to college with is now gone through a gender change. Gender transition, I should say.
Yo, so I love how all of us, the callers, all of us are, like, saying the words wrong and then correcting it. Because we do – oh, no, it's detransitioning is the word now. Like, we know the buzzwords, but we're not used to them yet.
He's now a guy. She changed her name. She's gone through testosterone, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how to tell one of my buddies that during college, me and that girl hooked up. He and I have been friends for a really long time, and he knows that I knew her when she was still a girl, and she was kind of hot back in college. And we got through looking through pictures. He even agreed that she was really good-looking in college. Now she's a dude, so I don't really know if I'm supposed to say anything to him now, and I feel really, really sketchy. I don't really know how to broach the subject, but she's a weird circumstance, so.
Chick you hooked up with in college is now a dude.
I think that's that weird.
No, neither do I. I think the only thing that you might, like, feel a tinge of, like, inadequacy is, like, you know, I definitely did not make this chick want to be a chick. You know what I mean?
Oh, I've done that. That's,
yeah. That wouldn't even bother me either, but that's the only scenario I could see someone being like, oh, wow.
And
I did something wrong.
The question was how to explain it to his friend.
Yeah.
I think your friend's a bigot if he judges you for this. This is nothing.
I also don't think it's something you need to, like, disclose if you don't want to. I mean, I would come on this show with you guys and be like, yo, some chick that I banged is now a dude, right, and we'd have a blast with it. But if you're awkward about that, I don't think you need to, like, disclose this to all your friends. Like, you know, let's send out a mass email explaining that someone's transitioning.
Right.
So I don't think there's anything.
No, I turned a girl into a lesbian once. Whatever. Happens.
How quickly, how much time had elapsed between you and the sexual change?
Not long. I mean, it wasn't the next day, but it was before the end of the school year. This was in high school, and we hooked up in the bushes at I believe at the time it was called the Tweeter Center, and then I don't know, a month or two later, it was like, yeah, I'm not into guys.
Well, that doesn't feel good. Did you think to yourself, like, maybe I was a little bit – maybe you were like – you know, obviously there's a lot more going on than just hooking up with Feidelberg in the bushes. But were you maybe like the straw that broke the camel's back?
I'm a glass half full guy. That's actually a recent change of mine.
I was going to say, what?
Yeah. No, that was –
since
at this
when?
Time, oh, man. At this time, I was so doe-eyed. I was the world was my oyster.
Right. You were the
and,
man.
I was,
so cool.
You know, I was just too much man for her. That was that one.
Oh, okay.
That was, She'd hooked up with little boys before, but
a hell of a spin zone.
definitely was not like a young Feidelberg, like, finger blasting her and grunting and, like, sweating on her that made her run to the feminine touch. No, definitely not that, John. You were too much man for her.
I was just way too masculine.
Well,
that was the big problem.
Well, you got maybe you turned that girl into a lesbian, but this chick here wants you to call her daddy.
Hey guys, just wanted to call, give you guys a break on the girls being in gay dudes thing this week. Just want to call and get your opinion on something. How do you guys feel about the word daddy? Kind of like a thing now where girls are calling their boyfriends or guys are hooking up with daddy. I'm kind of into it, but I've had some guys who think it's super creepy. I've had some guys who are really into it. Just kind of wanted to get your guys' opinion on it. I'm a big fights girl, so I'm excited to hear what he says about it. I have a feeling he'll fucking hate it, but he's been a surprising guy lately, so you never know what you're going to get out of him. Just kind of want to hear what you guys thought. Thanks, guys. Be back.
The very definition of daddy issues, Feidelberg, she wants to hear from you. Would you call this girl daddy? She sounded cute.
No.
She sounded like she's
no,
into
she's,
it.
Would you let her? Daddy?
Yeah.
This has happened on the Blackout tour before, and I don't know how much I want to reveal because I feel like there are some weird parts that happen that are maybe in a legal gray area.
Oh boy! We'll edit this out.
We can cut this.
Yeah, we'll talk to the lawyer. I'll just say what happened and we'll talk to the lawyers. I think it's actually on film because Dante was, like, hiding in the bathroom during it and, like, filming from the bathroom off a mirror.
I remember this.
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. And such a creep. And that girl did that, and I was like, I popped up. I was like, wait, that's very odd.
She said, call me daddy.
No, she
was calling you daddy.
Yeah, and I was. It didn't stop anything, but it wasn't the
turn.
It was shocking. I guess it wouldn't, like, I wouldn't be super into it, but if you're into it, I guess you can do it.
Yeah,
like, it's going to take a fucking lot to ruin everything.
That's what I was going
to
say. You know,
do whatever you got to do to get you there.
We sat here and talked about how chicks can't be sexual deviants because we're such like perverts, John. You can't. Then we can't turn around and be like, ew. Like, calling me daddy is strange. It is strange, and I do think you have daddy issues. But if that's what she's into, you got to let her rock out. Because the thing is, it's all about reciprocity here. I'll let you say that, and then you got to let me do some of the weird shit that I'm into. And then everyone can just have their way in bed. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. In spur of the moment, it probably isn't a big deal. I think if you are sitting people down like, hey, I want to start calling you daddy.
Yes.
That's weird because there is the element of you're acting like a little child and like I'm your dad, and then the whole daddy issues are not attractive. Let's just say that. Like, it's funny to joke about, but it's not really what you're looking for in a female to be like, I have big time daddy issues.
The phrase is daddy issues for a reason. If you are into daddy talk, you probably have them. Now, for the sake of like a hookup, I'm sure she'll give you the rod of your life. I just don't think you want to be like dating someone who's sitting you down being like, I want to call you daddy all the time.
Yeah,
also, exactly. I will say this. John, if I'm you, John, whatever. Once you're actually a father, that's weird. Weird.
You know what this guy, you know what she needs to do? She just needs to find like a Puerto Rican dude. Because I feel like you can call all those guys daddy and Poppy and all that.
You can Poppy's call so Poppy. Different. Yeah. Poppy is not daddy at all.
Yeah, but I'm just saying she should just find a Puerto Rican dude. I feel like that's all. I feel like every Puerto Rican dude is daddy or Poppy.
How awesome would it be to have a chick call you Poppy in a non-ironic way? Like, you're giving it to her and she's like, I, Poppy.
Just the fact that she's Latin is perfect.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here in my head trying to think of a way it works because it was whispered to me.
Like, that's even creepier.
Oh, daddy. And I was like, oh, weirdo. I think yelling it would even be worse.
Yeah, no, I think yelling it, like, I think you yell a lot of things. I think you're the key to the moment. I think if you're, like, whispering, you're intentionally, like, I'm going to say it in his ear because it's going to, like, get him off or get me off. That's weird to me.
So weird.
Also, she says, like, this is, like, a thing, like, meaning now. Is that something that's arising in 2016? Obviously, it's always been at least a joke. It's been out there. Is this... John, have you encountered this in your single travels?
Kevin, my sex life is not popping, so I would not be able to answer that one for you. I don't know. I don't know what the kids are saying in bed these days.
You are the worst. Your sex life should absolutely be popping. It's so annoying that it's not. another question here.
Preaching to the you're not even really preaching in the choir, because I guess this choir is in control of it. But you're preaching in the choir in a sense.
Another question here from a chick looking for advice, or looking for answers, I should say.
What's up, guys? I just had a question about, like, how much time guys spend in the bathroom. So I have two male roommates, one of whom just moved in, like, a little over a month ago, and he spends so much time in the bathroom, like, I have no idea what he's doing in there. Just last weekend, I was waiting to take a shower. He was in the bathroom for over an hour. The shower was only on for, like, maybe 10 minutes. He finally left. I hopped in the shower. I was out in, like, 20 minutes. As soon as I left the bathroom, he went back in the bathroom. Like, what is he doing in there? Yeah. I just don't understand. Do you guys spend this much time in the bathroom? Like, do you have any insight as to what he could possibly be doing? Because I just don't understand.
What do you mean, like, any insight of what he could possibly be doing? Fucking dick a guess.
There's a short list of things that can go on in the bathroom that a guy's going to be spending time in there doing. This is something that I've learned as I've gotten older is definitely a thing. It's different, like, for different stages in life. you're there for different reasons, but it's always your sanctuary. The bathroom is like a safe haven for a dude, whether you're like a teenager first figuring things out or whether you're like my age and now you have a wife and kids and you need to hide away. The bathroom is safe haven. You're in the trust tree. You lock that door and nobody – you're in your safe zone. What do the kids call it? Your safe place or whatever? All the college kids. That's what a bathroom is for the dude. So, Dan, we'll start with you. Help this girl out. What's going on in that bathroom?
I mean,
he's in
there. The fact that she can't realize her roommate's taking, like, hour-long shits is insane.
Well, I don't know. When he went back in, I thought maybe
that part. No, well, that
he was like, "Oh, sorry, I forgot the shit."
No, that to me is like I forgot to do all the normal stuff in the bathroom. Like, I took an hour long shit, and then I forgot, like, "Oh crap, I forgot to brush my teeth, like put in some hair gel, like all like deodorant, like all the normal
the,
shit."
The first
just
reason
totally zoned out the, on his shit.
The first reason I went in there, I completely forgot all of those things because I was sitting on the bowl, like playing with my phone, taking a shit.
Right, it happens to everyone. You go in and just time stops in the bathroom, and you come out, and it's like going to that planet on Interstellar or whatever. Was that what the name of the movie is?
Yeah,
where like time moves like 8 years, and it's only 1 month, and shit like all warped. You go in the bathroom, and you think you've only been in there for 5 minutes. You come out, and it's like 3 days from now.
Especially
so,
now that we have the smartphones, it's like you're on Twitter, you're reading the blog, you're watching some porn, you're reading your emails. The shower's running, like you turn it on maybe, so she thinks you're showering for like an hour and a half. No. The water's running there, but I'm not actually in there yet. There's a whole pregame to the actual shower.
If Africa knew how much fucking water we waste while taking a shit and having the shower run. Oh my God!
That
literally would solve the water crisis.
That should be the new like charity thing. It's not like every time you buy a bottle of this water, we donate some fresh water over there. There should just be an initiative to get guys to not run the shower while they're taking a shit and jerking off and stuff.
I waste gallons and gallons and gallons of water a year. So much water,
swimming pool
like,
full.
I seriously think I could save a whole village of Africans just by turning on the shower when I'm going to get in the shower, not when I start my shit.
I saw the other day someone said, can you imagine explaining fountains to a third world country? Where you say, yeah, that's our clean water. We just throw our extra money in it. That's like what this is. It's like, yeah, no, we're trying to trick our significant others. Oh, no, we're not having sex with them. We're in there masturbating. But we don't want them to know we're in there masturbating. So we turn on the water and we just waste tons and tons of clean water that you would love to be drinking. That I kind of then I'll get in there and I'll put it in my mouth and I'll spit it and I'll twirl around and pretend I'm like a fucking fountain. That's what we do with water.
We have fucking fountains for our dogs. Like every park I go to has a fountain for my dog. Just think about that. We have special fountains for our pets.
You know what's funny, too, though, is that for every one girl who asked this question, who this girl, I mean, she sounds clueless as to what could be going on. There's a lot of chicks that I think do know what's happening. Like my wife will – I'll be like, I'm going to get in the shower. And she'll be like, is it going to be one of your 45-minute showers? Because, like, we got to go soon. But it's never – she's never like, so are you going to be in there jerking off to the porn with the volume turned all the way down and then taking a shit? It's just like kind of unspoken that I'm going to be in there for a long ass time because I need to be there. So, girls, that's what's happening. We take a long poop, then we probably jerk off, maybe hop in the shower after that, maybe jerk off in the shower. I don't know, but we need to be in there, so don't ask questions and just let us do it.
We need to – the only solution to not having this be a thing for guys is if we make it like socially normal to lock random doors. Because that's really what it comes down to. The bathroom is a door that can be locked.
Very true.
And have it not be weird.
Very true.
Right?
If your roommate tries to walk in and the bedroom's locked, she's like,
right. You're
what?
Like, oh, he's obviously jerking off. So if we could somehow change all of our culture and be like, yep, we just lock all doors now, then we don't have to do this. But until that day happens, the bathroom door is getting locked because it's an acceptable door to lock. It really is that what
that
it's
is like,
out to?
I just gave it some thought. That's really it.
Yeah, I can lock that door and be safe and sound and not have everyone be like, why is this door locked?
Also,
I'm in the bathroom.
An element is that the shower is running and you can hear it. So it's like, what's going on in there? Oh, they're showering because there's something that you can hear from the other side of the door.
Oh, he's stealing all of Africa's water.
I'll do – sometimes when I'm really hungover, I will go into the bathroom, put the hot water on full blast, and just lay on the floor and read my phone. That's I won't even sit in the toilet. I'll just lay on the floor, and because like the steam room feels good. And can you just imagine if I told that to an African person? Yeah, I had a bit of a headache, so I just ran hot water for 3 hours.
Just breathed in the vapor because it felt good as we wasted your entire country's.
Sorry, dude. Enjoy your glass of mud water, but like water that I would jump over. Like I won't even that water's so gross I won't even step in it, and you're drinking it, and we're just dumping it down the drain.
Can I, and I'm not going to nitpick you here, John, but I think you've been living with Lewis for too long. I sense a little water coming.
Ooh.
Water?
Yeah. I've sensed the last few have been a little closer to water.
Water.
I have a fat tongue. I say we're
dude,
weird.
You've been living with a fucking Philly idiot for too long.
That's Philly trash. Yo, you can hang around Philly trash, but that stink starts to rub off on you. All of a sudden, you smell like it too. You start saying,
"You're like
water
the kid." You're like the kid who goes abroad and comes back with like a fake Australian accent. That's
phone.
You right now.
Let's call John on the phone. Go home. Yeah. Drink some water.
I got a photo of Dave's stuff right here. No, that's totally ridiculous. I'm not even taking this to heart or
I'm
reacting
you,
to it.
I'm
I don't say
out
water
for you, John. Just start saying water like a normal person.
I say water exactly. Like a normal person.
Just
water.
Get in that bathroom and enjoy that water. All right, you never know what we're doing in the shower. It could be taking a shit. We could be J-O-ing. But a lot of times, you just got to shave. Shaving takes a long time. But it can be made simple and easy with DollarShaveClub.com, where they will deliver razors right to your door. They're high-quality razors at an affordable price that you can get shipped to you every month, every other month, whatever frequency you need it, however often you shave. Dollar Shave Club has got you covered. It's not just razors, too, though. They have a whole array of men's products at this point. They have hair product. They have lotions. They have lip balm. They got it all. I have, like, all my entire bathroom is filled with all of the products I need from DollarShaveClub.com. Right now, their offer is that if you buy a tube of Dr. Carver's Shave Butter, which is, like, softer and better than shaving cream, you will get the Executive Razor for free, which is, like, their highest, classiest best razor. So go to DollarShaveClub.com, use the DollarShaveClub.com/KFC and get yourself some Dr. Carver's Shave Butter and get a free Executive Razor now. They've never done it before, so take advantage of it, and it's only at DollarShaveClub.com/KFC. That's DollarShaveClub.com/KFC. Let's switch gears here and get into some we've been kind of throwing it back recently. Going back to the old days of KFC Radio. By the way, funny throwback that my brother put up the other day. Emmy Award winner Katie Nolan, episode 11 of KFC Radio, called in to ask if dudes like hand jobs, which is just hilarious.
Katie Nolan called into this show?
Yes, sir. 11. It was back. It was three apartments ago for me when the show was literally just me in front of a mic with playing the voicemails for myself. Katie called in. She was a little bit drunk, and she said, I guess the question was kind of morphed into, like, would you rather have a good hand job or a bad blow job? But it was funny because she's an Emmy Award winner now, and she was like, do guys like hand jobs? Maybe I'll have Connor edit it in if he's feeling that.
KFC, it's Katie Nolan. I'm finally calling you because I finally have an issue that I need your opinion on, and I know that you and your relentless stoolies are with us bet at getting some answers. The issue is hand jobs. In one of my videos the other day, I made some sort of comment about how I don't do hand jobs. And I actually got comments and tweets and emails from people saying, like, oh, I feel bad for your boyfriend, and I didn't know you were such a prude. And I'm, like, blown away. Because my question is, are hand jobs still a thing that people do, like, post-high school? Because I've always thought they were, like, that thing you did because you weren't getting into the blowjob game yet. Like, hand jobs are to blowjobs what bicycles are to cars. Like, once you get your license, that thing's just going to sit in the garage and collect dust because you don't have any need for it anymore. Am I wrong? Unless you're a hipster, in which case your opinion doesn't matter, but thanks for playing. I mean, post 21, I've honestly thought it was a widely known fact that if a girl offered you a handy, it was like an insult. Like, she didn't want to do any of those other two things with it that she could do, but she was too nice to bail. So she'd, like, masturbate you for you so you'd fall asleep and then bail on you while you're sleeping. I can't. That's my long-winded question. I can't wrap my mind around this, that there are people, grown men, who look forward to a hand job. Please clarify this for me. Please renew my faith in the world. Anyway, that's it. Viva.
That's insane.
Yeah, wild.
Just
right?
Think about that for a second. Like, we don't know what the future holds, but obviously, you know, Barstool would turn in 4, 5, 6 years. We could reach a point, conceivably, that we've been doing this for a decade. That's insane.
No, I'm going on 7. This August will be 7 years at Barstool.
That's crazy.
That's like a lot of people don't have jobs at this age that have lasted that long. Like, you bounce around a lot and shit.
And dude, all of my friends have had 10 jobs.
Yeah, even weirder for you because this is all you've had. So it's just like, this is it. Wild, man. But yeah, Emmy Award winner talking about hand jobs. Maybe
I watched that clip. That was funny. It really was 3 apartments ago for you because, like, you lived in a college dorm. Like,
yeah.
You see, like, the messy sheets in the back and, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now we got fucking – now we got back there. We got a
cradle and
on the door.
Dude, from fucking talking about hand jobs with Katie Nolan in my like my bachelor pad to this to blogging out of a nursery, and that right there, you see that gray thing? That's just filled with shitty diapers, and it stinks. So I'm just blogging and podcasting in a stinky smell. Don't ever have kids. So my point being, we're gonna throw it back here and just get into a couple old school would you rather's.
Hey guys, so some guy just hit that home run, and obviously KFC missed your homeboy hitting that home run. So it got me thinking of some rare situations. Would you rather be a baseball pitcher who hits a home run, a hockey goalie who scores a goal, or a football lineman scoring a touchdown? All kind of rare.
Ooh, I like this one a lot. First of all, let me just say with the Bartolo thing, and I mentioned this on Mail Time, we've talked about the hypothetical a million times. Would you rather like your team win the World Series, but you miss it? And you don't get to enjoy it, or would you rather not have it happen? That actually went down. It actually happened with me with Bartolo, and I'm proud to announce that my answer is I'm happy it happened. I would never go back on that and undo it. So that's forever my answer if that hypothetical comes up again. Good one here. Hockey goalie scoring a goal, pitcher hitting a home run, lineman scoring a touchdown. I think I know almost everyone's answer here. I think it's all three, but maybe not. Fights, you're going with hockey goalie, right?
Fuck no.
No?
Always been a home run guy. I've always...
That's true. You're right. That is true. I should have thought of that. That was my bad.
It's always, if you could walk off anyway, you know, like game-winning drive, yada, yada, I'm always taking the home run. Hockey goalie goals...
That's the rarest of the rare, right?
Exactly. It's so rare, it's almost like... It's like hitting the lottery. Like, you didn't... No one even really cares. It's like, oh, that was amazing, but that's kind of it. Like, it was just... Everyone understands it was the fluke and it was luck. And, like, you hit a home run, it's like Noah Syndergaard going deep twice, going deep oppo fucking center to at Dodger Stadium. Like,
no,
that's just,
joke.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fluke, but he still earned the shit out of both those home runs.
Was this hypothetical a walk-off, did you say?
No, or just...
No, I kind of just...
Pitcher hitting a home run.
Got it.
Goalie, sorry,
not
goal
to sound like a hardo, but the Cubs have had some pretty fucking good pitchers hitting. So it's not – it loses its luster a little. Carlos Zambrano was, like, a legit hitter.
He used to hit, like,
80 Travis Wood is a pretty good hitter. Jake Arrieta is a pretty good hitter. So I would – John Lester is definitely the Bartolo Colon. Like, he up until – I think he's got a couple hits this year, but up until, like, towards the end of last year, his career batting average was, like, .062. So he would definitely be a what the hell. He hit one, I think, in spring training. It was like, holy shit. The lineman question is simply how, like, what kind of lineman? Because if it's J.J. Watt, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, fuck that.
If it's Vince Wilfork, sign me up.
Right.
The fatter, if it's a true fat guy, I take the fat guy scoring every day of the week.
That was I figured you were going to take the fat guy touchdown. I thought Feitelberg was going to take hockey just because he's Feitelberg.
It's hockey. It's goalie fights. Remember I had that whole tweet after Corey Crawford, like the things you never see that are so much fun. Goalie fights are so much fun.
The best.
A goalie goal is like – it's like a one-handed falling backwards full court heave where you just go, whoa,
wow.
That was cool, and then that was it. Like, it's not
like it's like scoring on yourself in hockey. Like, Kane did that last year where, you know, he, like, tried to pass it and because it was a delayed penalty and there was no goalie in and it went off the boards and in. That's like that's kind of like a goalie goal. It's just a fluke.
Right.
So
I would take the baseball home run, obviously. I got Bartolo fever right now, so pitcher home runs are just doing it for me.
Are just so great because you have that built-in celebration. Like,
yeah.
You just get to soak it all in while you're doing it.
True.
The trot. I mean, like we said, Bartolo's trot was better than the actual home run.
Sublime.
Let's talk about superpowers again.
What up, KFC? This is Hunter from Boston calling in. I've got a quick would you rather for all of humanity. So I'll preface this. This applies to everyone. It would just be something where the entire thing would change. So behind the first option, behind door one, the entire humanity gets the ability to breathe underwater and fly. The second option you can choose would be to find out that we have the ability to communicate with extraterrestrial life. I personally think I would go for the ability to fly because I just think flying is kind of a badass move. But I know you guys are big ET guys, all about the aliens, so let me know what you think.
Okay, here's the thing. The problem with this question is that the entire human race is granted the ability to fly and breathe underwater. What's awesome about those things is that you're the only dude who can do it. If everybody can fly and breathe underwater, that just becomes par for the course. That's like how everyone
just traffic
can,
in the sky.
Everyone can walk and fucking talk.
Breathing underwater especially is like, why would you want to breathe underwater? So you can get eaten by a shark? That's this ocean is scary, dude.
If
I don't want to
breathe
underwater.
Could breathe underwater right now, I wouldn't even use that ability. Maybe every now and then in the pool, I'd be like, watch this.
In a pool
this.
To impress people.
Yeah, I'd be like, I bet you $1,000 I can hold my breath for 10 minutes. That's right. About it. Otherwise, not a big deal. Flying is cool.
Yeah, think about breathing underwater. You know those guys who go down those big, deep pits, the free diving?
Yeah.
And they break records? I wouldn't even do that if I could breathe underwater.
No.
Because it's so scary. Fuck
yeah,
that.
And I feel like even if you could breathe, maybe the pressure would still get with you. I don't know the science behind it all.
You can't pop your ear.
Right.
Worst.
Water in your ear afterwards. I don't care if I could breathe underwater. If I have water in my ear for like a week, that sucks. I'm out on going underwater pretty much.
Water in your ear, I think it's a raw deal. Because when it comes out, that's like better than sex.
Yeah, but
that's the best feeling in the world.
When you can't get it out, though, it's like suicidal. There have been times where I'm like, I have to chop my head off because that's the only answer here. The flip side, finding out we know there are aliens. We are. John, are you as much of an alien guy as me and Dan have? I've found out about myself. I mean, I was always an alien guy, but as I talk about it on the rundown, I really learned just how much of an ET guy I am. Are you?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was all about. I was ET. I was Independence Day. I was the X-Files.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even watch the show, but I thought the movie was like the fucking best movie ever. I haven't seen the second one, actually.
I'm
but
big
the first
on.
One
I got. Ancient Aliens loads up my DVR. It's like your DVR is full again because you got 9 new episodes of Ancient Aliens that you've already seen. But just finding out they're there, I don't know. Basically, this question boils down to: Would you rather fly or just know that you can talk to aliens?
I'd
rather fly.
Yeah, because that's something you could like. You know, you're going to be able to do that. Big deal. We found out there are aliens out there. What if we never really do anything with it in the next? You know, before I'm dead.
Yeah, that's I like the mystery of the alien. I like the conspiracy. I'm a big conspiracy theory guy, so I like the not knowing. That's all interesting to me. If I was just like, oh yeah, there are people flying around out there, definitely we talk to them all the time. I don't give a fuck. It's like Europe. I don't really give a shit about it.
Right.
This also sounds like a trap. If you could communicate with aliens, but no one else could, you're just like the crazy bum on the corner.
Well, no, I'm assuming that this would be because if everyone can fly, then I think everyone knows about the aliens. Let's say it's news. Like, boom, we figured it out.
Okay. Oh, I missed the part where everyone can fly.
Yeah, the human race gets the ability.
Depends on how fast. If you can fly faster than a plane, I would do it. Like, if I could be in California in, like, 20 minutes by flying by myself, I'd definitely take that.
I don't think there's any slow flying, Dan.
Have you ever been on like Spirit Airlines?
Yeah. What do you think you're flying like the Wright brothers fucking first plane? That's the speed at what a body.
I'm just saying, like, what if it's like hand gliding?
That would be the worst superpower ever.
Those guys,
dude,
they do not go fast
enough. Where it has to be.
Oh wait, I got hang gliding confused with the squirrel suits.
No, hang gliding with like sails and shit. That's what I'm thinking of. Flying,
by the way, that's crazy. Hang gliding is fucking nuts. That's like the craziest thing you can do. You just jump off a cliff like holding onto a fucking kite.
I've been skydiving. No big deal.
Skydiving is the best, man. I did it once. It was the best.
Yeah.
You just smile nonstop for like a week. You just can't stop smiling. You're so happy.
I think I'm out on skydiving. Should I do it? Never done it.
No, definitely do it, dude.
Yeah. Do it once.
I don't know. I guess you have shit to live for. Like,
I won't do it again. But do it once. And also do it
somewhere. But, like, knowing me, I would fucking die. Like, my parachute wouldn't open. Me and this instructor would die.
Do it somewhere that it's, like, a good view. Because, like, I know, like, they have it in Chicago, and it's, like, you just basically skydive and look at, like, cornfields. I did it in San Diego. It was sick. It's, like, you see the ocean and shit. Otherwise, it's, like, what are you even doing?
Yeah, that would be – I did it in Newport. That would be stupid to do it anywhere but, like, on the water.
Let's get into our weekly. This is the dude who needs the most advice. He has a specific question here. The advice portion of KFC Radio this week is brought to you by Uber. How does Uber work? People got to know the ins and outs of these things because they're that impressive and it's affected our lives and changed us that much. So Uber, in case you don't know, it's a smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. So as a driver, it helps you make extra money when you're driving your own car. Totally flexible. You don't have to quit your day job to make any more money, because Uber will let you make extra money on your schedule. Whenever you need to make some extra bucks, you turn on the app and drive a few hours here, a few hours there, a few passengers, and the money, bingo bango, goes right to your account. It's easy to get started. Just go to drivewithuber.com, sign up for free. You can do it right now on your phone if you wanted. Answer a few questions, and you and your car get approved. Third, start driving. That's all there is to it. So start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money on your schedule. Sign up with Uber today. drivewithuber.com. drivewithuber.com. Last week, we talked to the dude with Crohn's disease who needed some help talking to girls at the bar. Now we have our first ever caller from Poland who wants to know how to do that.
Hey, guys. So I got a question for you. I've been working in Poland for the past couple of months, and although, you know, a lot of people speak shitty English. So my question for you guys is, when you're at a bar, what's the trick for picking up a girl who speaks shitty English? Because when I've tried, it's been impossible to carry on a halfway decent conversation for longer than 5 minutes.
How do you talk to Polish chicks at the bar?
Good. How do you talk to American chicks at the bar?
Right. You're basically saying, like, you're struggling with riding a bike, and now you want me to fucking ride, like, a unicycle on steroids? What are you talking about?
Yo, here's the thing. If you're an American in Poland, you're like the cock of the walk, right? You don't need to fucking have a good conversation with these chicks. You're from America. You're dropping American dollars on their Polish asses left and right. I don't know. They probably want to just suck your dick right then and there. They're Polish. They have to come to you and be like, oh, my God, how do we talk to the American boy? Fuck that.
Yeah, I'm with you all on that.
Yeah, give them money, but not like as a prostitute, but give them money. But make sure they know they're not a prostitute, but also just give them money.
This advice from Dan here applies to women all around the world. It doesn't matter what English what language they speak.
Make it clear, it's not prostitution, but just give them gifts and money, and they'll most likely like you for a short amount of time. You have to give more.
We made quick work of that one. There's your answer.
They need to pay tribute. It's like, I mean, we saved Europe's ass. That's on us. Like, we did that. Like, you're not speaking German because of us. You're fucking welcome. And, like, so you should speak English, and you should love us.
Particularly Poland. I don't know why you're throwing out a well there, Dan. We saved Poland big time.
Yeah, well, we don't need to get into World War II, but Russia was – you don't go fight a war in Russia. They had already overextended themselves at that point. But, yes, I would say –
look at this fucking communist over here.
I'm just saying. I love World War II. I love reading about World War II.
Bro, yes. We won World War II, not Russia. Fuck you.
Okay.
Get out of here with that Russia talk.
I think Dan's a history major, so I'm just shutting up during that.
I'm not going to dispute the facts. I'm just saying the facts are America won World War II.
Very nice
the facts are what I say they are.
Yeah. We had a big
What movie is that from? The facts are what I say they are.
Movie of life, John. Let's get into the last voicemail of the day, which is brought to you by Weebly. Weebly is the easiest way to make a website. Weebly.com/KFC. Start it up now, whether you want to start a blog, whether you want to start a music site, an online storefront, a fashion blog, I don't know, anything in between, any idea you have that you're trying to get out to the world and make big bucks and make your dreams come true, you're going to need yourself a website in the year 2016 to do it, and Weebly is the easiest way to do it. You don't need technology background. You don't need HTML coding background. It's got drag-and-drop technology with a bunch of templates to choose from. So a couple clicks here and there, and you got yourself a website. Go to Weebly.com/KFC. That's Weebly.com/KFC. Last one of the day.
Hey, what up, boys? First-time caller, long-time listener. I got a question for you guys. I'm a junior in college. I'm staying down here over the summer, take classes and internship. All my other roommates went home for the summer, and I just found out that my one roommate's girlfriend is going to be staying in his room over the summer. Just really confused on what the hell I should do. I know, KFC, you're all about never living with a girl unless you're fucking married. I don't know what to do. Help me out, guys. Thanks.
Living with your girlfriend's, your roommate's girlfriend for the summer.
They're going to fuck.
I was going to say, I mean, this is what, yo, this dude should not be worried. The friend who's dating this girl should be like, ah, absolutely not. I got a friend who, my group of friends are kind of weird, as we all know, the cross-country gang and all that shit. There's a couple girls in the crew that are, like, friendly with them. And long story short, my buddy was going to live with my other friend's girlfriend. Like, not for the summer. They were going to move into an apartment together in Long Island City. And the one guy had to call up my friend and be like, dude, you can't live with my girlfriend. Absolutely not. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. The two guys involved, like, there's no way this girl was going to fuck my friend over the boyfriend. But still.
They're still going to fuck.
Yeah. You just can't. Who knows? They're coming out of the shower naked. You hear them, like, banging somebody else. You're drunk at night. No. You can't live with your friend's girlfriend.
I had a buddy call and ask one summer to live with my girlfriend at the time and my buddy's ex-girlfriend because they were still friends. And he was like, I really need to live there. I need a place to stay. Would it be weird if I lived with them? I was like, you're out of your fucking mind. There's no shot in hell I'm letting you live with my girlfriend and my buddy whose ex lived there. He's like, I'm not letting you fuck my ex because that would be even more of a thing than, like, my current girlfriend. Be like, she wants to get back at him. He's like, well, they're exes anyway. He's like, there's no fucking chance you're living under the same roof as my ex.
Yeah, I mean, somebody being like, would that be weird? Like, yes, bro. In what planet would that not be weird? Are you out of your mind?
And it's not even the guy's fault. Who's still living in the apartment. That's, like, you can't – I think there was a Seinfeld episode about this. The first time there's an awkward silence, you're going to fuck.
Yeah.
The first time you come home, both of you are drunk and, like, just hanging out watching TV, you're going to fuck. And I know the PC, you know, world out there is like, why can't guys and girls just be friends, like, without talking about fucking? Well, they can sometimes, but they can't live together
as college kids
and not fuck.
Human nature. You got a dick. You got a vagina. They're going to go in. It's just going to happen. That's just how it works. And denying that and trying to think otherwise is ridiculous. This is another problem, too, with girls who call in who are like, I'm going to live with my buddy's friend for the summer. That's not a big deal. It's like, yes, it's a big deal. He's going to want to fuck you. You're probably going to get drunk and slutty one night. Of course it's going to be a big deal. Avoid the whole situation. Or, I don't know, or bang this girl and realize that your friendship with that guy's over. But either way, it's going to a disastrous place. 168 in the books, or 7, I don't know anymore. All I know is that June 9th, Couchella, coming at you. Save your dates. We're out.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com?
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.